Bibles are being passed out, I would like to just kind of echo what John shared, and that is extend to you the invitation to come down tomorrow and be part of the baptism and picnic. It is hard to get to know others around here. Sunday mornings and other events, we're coming and going and much happening and not a lot of time. But the baptism and picnic is a perfect place to talk with old friends and meet new friends. And of course, the highlight of the day is focused on the time we all go down to the bay and participate in the baptism time. And so if you've never been baptized, the Lord commands us to do so. We invite you to come do that with us tomorrow. But if you have been, come down to celebrate with those who are. It's a great time for singing and giving out hugs and all of us just appreciating and thanking God for what he's done for us. And for me personally, I think the events around here come Wednesday night has to rank right up there one of the most important things that you as a believer can do. So many things pull on our schedule, I realize that. But to gather for communion, to gather and remember that which brought into our lives eternal life, that which brought in forgiveness and God's grace and mercy. I don't know of any more important reason to gather together than what we'll be doing here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So please, if at all possible, I encourage you, I exhort you, come celebrate. Come remember as we participate in communion Wednesday night. Matthew 11. As we come to this portion of Scripture, I'd like you to just take a moment and if you would, just picture a person, perhaps a person standing up front here. It doesn't matter the gender, male or female. But just picture a person standing here before us with their arms extended. Having pictured that, I want you to now picture the scene as I begin to place upon this person heavy objects. As I begin to place upon them and hang from their arms, heavy objects. Perhaps you might picture some bricks, some heavy bricks. And so here's a person standing here, and I'm beginning now to pile bricks upon them on their shoulders and on their arms. And as you watch, you observe that at first the person can handle this. It's not too much. It takes a little effort, but they're able to handle the load. But as you watch, and I continue to place more bricks upon this person, the load, of course, begins to get heavier and heavier. But still I pile more bricks upon this person. And now you can see that the pain is becoming, it's increasing. The person's arms are shaking from the exertion of trying to hold up this load of bricks. You can see that it's becoming too much for this person. And up till now, perhaps you've been watching in interest, but soon your interest becomes concern. They weren't designed to hold this much weight, this much stress upon them. And so you call out to the person, set your load down. I can't, comes the cry. Some of these things are needed things that I must carry. Others are things that I don't know how to lay them down. I have to carry them. It's my lot in life to carry these things. Well, the person having said that, perhaps you might say, you know, I'm going to go check out these bricks. He says they can't lay them down, that these are important, that it's a lot in life. And so you move closer to see what these things are that are so important. And as you get close to the person, close to the bricks that are all over, these weights that are on this person, you notice that they have labels on them. You begin to read these labels. And as you do, you see that some are labeled the cares of this world. What I mean, you find some bricks that are labeled worry over bills. Another brick is labeled fear over failure. Perhaps another one is labeled doubts. You continue to look around. You look at more bricks. These bricks are labeled differently. These bricks are labeled guilt, unforgiveness, prejudice, pride, sin. You decide to look over at the other arm. You move to the other side of this person to see what those bricks are labeled. Those bricks are labeled things like legalism and formal and ritualized religion. You move on. There are other bricks of labeled expectations of others placed upon this person. You look further. There are some bricks that are just bricks that life simply brings to us. You notice a person has bricks labeled the hurt of a rebellious child. Another brick labeled the loss of a loved one. It's too much. The person isn't going to make it if they keep trying to carry this load. He's going to miss out on so much. Even if he were to be able to maybe somehow bear up under it, he'll miss out on so much because he's busy putting out all this energy trying to just bear this load. Life isn't designed to be lived like this. So you get in front of the person. You go over and your intent is to plead with this person. Come on, you got to let this go. You got to put it down. It's got to crush you. You're missing out on so much. You're burning up so much energy. It's going to fry you. So you move over to get where you might speak to this person. You look into this person's face. And now you come to the greatest shock of all. For you see, for some here this morning, it isn't some other person. It's you. You'd be looking right into your own face. Because truth be told, many of us come in this morning and we are carrying many of those bricks. Such a weight, such a load. And we're weary and tired and fried. Heavy laden. Matthew 11, starting at verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This morning it is my privilege to simply hold before each of us an awesome invitation from God to you. And what each one of us do about this call, this invitation, will determine our destiny after this life, and it will determine our journey through this life. I've called our time together based on verse 28. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you've given us an awesome time of worship this morning, and we thank you for that, this privilege and opportunity to praise you. Thank you how in those times, Lord, you kind of tune us into you. You align our hearts with yours. Now, Lord, as we come to this time of you speaking to us, Lord, how I pray. We all pray, Lord. You know us. You know we drag in here, Lord. You know what's going on in our lives. Far too many are weighted down and weary of soul and heart. But Lord, there's a rest. You're offering an invitation. Lord, help us. Help us to not come short of that rest you're offering. So Lord, speak to our hearts in this time, we pray. From your heart to ours. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. As chapter 11 of Matthew opens and moves along, Jesus is traveling through the cities ministering to the people. But not all are receiving him. And there's discussion at the opening part of the chapter regarding John the Baptist, but as Jesus ends his comments about John the Baptist, he says, you know, so many people, they won't receive John the Baptist, he says, and they won't receive me. They won't receive Jesus. And Jesus then moves into a portion where he actually begins to rebuke the cities where he'd done so many miracles and so much of his work. But then the tone changes as we move on in the chapter. For Jesus, after rebuking those that would not come and they were so hard-hearted and all, we find Jesus now begins to pray. And we're going to pick that up in verse 25. Go to verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight.'" Jesus begins to pray here. What does Jesus thank the Father for? In essence, he thanks the Father for the way and to whom the Father chooses to reveal himself to. Father, Jesus said, I thank you that you've hidden these things, these truths and all, from the wise and the prudent. Who's the Lord referring to there? There's nothing wrong with having wisdom. Scripture calls us to be wise in many regards. But the wise and the prudent here, as we've moved through the text here, and tonight we'll look at this, Lord willing, but it's those who are so hard-hearted, those who are full of themselves, wise in their own wisdom, you might say. They were arrogant. Remember, the religious leaders just wouldn't believe. They were so stuck in their interpretations, so stuck in their self-focus, self-focused religion, their self-righteousness, that they missed the opportunity for relationship with God. And that's the point here. Jesus is praying to the Father, saying, well, thank you, Lord, that you've hidden it from those who are all about themselves and all. How sad. How sad that those, the religious leaders and all, thinking they were about God, were missing God because they were just stuck in their own ways so much. But that doesn't mean God wasn't revealing himself. For the text says that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. God was revealing himself, but those who are full of themselves, those who are wise and prudent in this way, those who are all about themselves and their agendas and how they thought it should be, they were simply missing it. God was revealing himself, but these were missing it. Well, who was revealing himself to? Well, a whole other group. It's a group that Jesus calls to babes. Meaning the humble. Meaning those who with childlike faith were turning to Jesus. Then after making this declaration that God was working and revealing himself to those who are open and humble and would come with this childlike faith, because it's your plan, Father, to do so, he says. In verse 27, Jesus now turns from speaking to the Father and begins to speak to the people and to us. Look at verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. How awesome and how important this declaration is. Jesus flat out declares that all things have been delivered to him. He doesn't say they've been revealed to him because he didn't need the revealing to them. I mean, he's God. He's existed always. But they've been committed to him. The power, all these things, they've been committed to him is what he's declaring. And he declares further that he and the Father have a relationship. They know each other in a unique way, in a special way. The know here is not just an intellectual knowing, of course. It means to have intimate fellowship with someone. And he says, basically, no one knows me, Father, except you, and no one knows you except me. And there's one other group. Him and those whom the Son reveals, wills to reveal him to. You cannot know God, the God of the Bible, without coming through Jesus. Please hear this in love. But there are not many roads to God, because something has to be done about that which is in us that is so contrary to God. In other words, something has to be done about our sin. Something had to be done about the unrighteousness in us. And so the awesome thing is there is a way open to all, but it's one way, and it's through Jesus. He reveals the Father. If someone claims to know God and they are not coming through Jesus, it's not the God who is. It's not the God of the Bible. So this verse, verse 27, declares the position and the power of Jesus, all things committed to him, that he is the one that you have access to the Father through. Now think how important that is. The declaration that all this power and position resides in Jesus. Think how important that is in light of what Jesus says next, because now we come to our focus for this morning. And there is no pause between these verses. There is instead an invitation. For after making this declaration that everything's been committed to Him, and that He reveals the Father to those He chooses to, He immediately says, "Come to Me. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." There's so much that's here in this text, but if you hear nothing else, hear the call. Are you weary this morning? Are you heavy laden? As I gave the example of that person that has these bricks, various bricks that life puts upon us, or just whatever that may be, do you relate to some of those? Do you relate to that person? It's me, I feel like that. Then hear God's call to you. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus has an invitation this morning. An invitation to those who labor and are heavy laden. Your New International Version puts it this way: all those who are weary and burdened. And that's the flavor here. Those who are working hard, laboring, but they are weary. It speaks of the activity and the result it has upon us. Burdened, laden down, like a mule with all this stuff that's way too heavy for it. Labor and heavy laden, weary and burdened. Now it's interesting, Jesus does not say what caused the weariness in particular, what brought on the pressure, the heavy burdens. He doesn't specify any, and it's good He doesn't, because if He only specified a few, we'd say, "Oh, mine's not like that, I'm left out." But instead, basically the point is, it doesn't matter what's brought you to this place of weariness and being heavy laden. The invitation is to all. What are some of the things that this phrase, "those who labor and are heavy laden," what are some of the things that that might represent? Well, it's more than the physical fatigue that we experience after a hard day of work. Here, really, it's speaking of that fatigue of the soul, that weariness of heart, that state of mind when you just feel fried and burn out. The toll that these kinds of things, the things we experience, things we take on, it's a fatigue of the heart, of the soul, is what He's talking about. And it's the effect those things have on us. Now, it can include the weariness, the labor of trying to carry around unforgiven sin. Man was designed to live in fellowship with God there in the garden. But man rebelled and brought into his life that which really cut him off from his Creator. And man drags around this unforgiven sin. He walks around in an unrestored relationship with his Creator. And he looks all around, man looks all around trying to find some relief from what in our hearts we know. Our sin, our failures, that which is so contrary to God that's within us. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you're heavy laden with sin. You haven't come to Jesus. There's a call for you. You see, that weight of unforgiven sin will crush you. It'll crush you for eternity. It'll crush you today. You're not designed to live like that. The call, come. Come to Jesus that He might forgive. But this is not a state that's unique to non-believers. For many a Christian this morning can relate to this. Many a Christian are right here in verse 28. Are you a Christian and yet you can relate to this whole weariness of soul? Perhaps for you, you're a believer, you've been forgiven, but you're laboring under the unforgiveness toward others that you're still carrying around. You freely received what God has done, but you can't seem to bring yourself to forgive what was done to you. It wasn't right, it was wrong. And so you struggle under this unforgiveness and the bitterness that has taken root in your life. It's a weight you're not designed to carry. Or perhaps you're a Christian who simply have fallen into the traps of legalism, ritualized religion. Not hard to do. You walk with the Lord a while, and you start finding yourself drifting into a works-based relationship with God. What I do for God. And yet you wonder why the leanness of soul is going on inside of you. Maybe you've picked up the brick of simply just rut and routine. Same old towards God. And again, you're wondering what's going on. But all you know is you're weary, you're burdened down by it. Maybe it's the fatigue of trying to earn God. Maybe you've somehow fallen back in that, thinking somehow you've got to earn His work in your life. And on and on. I could go on and on. But more to the point is, what is your brick? What is your weight? What is wearing you down? Would you be willing to admit it? Would you be willing to do business with God about it today? Oh, I know we sometimes put in a lot of overtime at work and we're tired physically, but I'm addressing that weariness of soul, that fatigue, that fried heart that you might feel you have this morning. If life has ground you to a nub, what are you going to do about it? No matter what your load is, there is a call from God, an invitation, and it's in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The call, come to me, Jesus says. There is a cure for what ails you. There is a healing. There is a restoration. There's a refreshing. But you got to come. And notice what he says, where you come to find that. Look at your verse 28. Jesus doesn't say, come to religion, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find rest. He doesn't say, come to ritual and routine. He doesn't say, come to legalism. Come to good works. He doesn't say, come to church. He doesn't say, come to Christian fellowship, as great as those can be, because none of those in themselves are the rest of soul that you need. But how busy we get doing them and wondering what's happened as we attend church and go to this meeting and we play our CDs and we read our books and we do all those things and yet wonder, why am I so tired of soul and heart? What's going on here, Lord? Because we slipped something else in the verse there instead of me. When Jesus says, come to him. There's only one place of rest. Come to Jesus. But here it is great news. There is a rest. A rest, and there's only one thing that qualifies the person. Only one thing you have to have that will qualify you. What? Being weary, burdened. I qualify. I qualify. That's it. Because look at, he says, come to me, all you who are in that place. All. An invitation for everyone. All ages. All nationalities. All. Jesus is the universal answer to that universal need, that fatigue of heart, that weariness of life, that trying to carry things on our own will bring us to, because we were never designed to. If it's the rest of salvation, that rest, that being at peace with God you need, he says, come to me. You will only find salvation in Jesus. But if you'll come to him, he says he will no wise cast you out. There's a rest for those who need salvation. You need hope in this hopeless world. There's the rest of the hope that we find in him. There's the rest of the peace. Peace unlike this world can give. There's the rest of knowing unconditional love in a world filled with conditional love. Come to Jesus, he says. Come to me, he said, and I will give you rest. Nobody and nothing else can, but he says, I will give you rest. But there's more. The chapter doesn't stop there. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we come to Jesus by faith, we find a rest, that rest of salvation, that rest of peace with God. But we don't stop there, for he says, after you've come to me, now take my yoke upon you, because I got more. I want you to find the rest, the deeper rest, that the surrendered life will bring you to, the obedient life can lead you to. And that's what it's talking about. There's a rest that he gives, verse 28. There's a rest we find as we take his yoke and learn of him. A yoke, of course, most of us are familiar with the idea of a yoke. We don't really live in an agricultural type society like they did then, but most of us understand still the idea of a yoke. A yoke was an implement fastened out of wood generally. They'd place upon the shoulders of the oxen. And with that, the oxen would... Well, actually, it served two purposes. The yoke was placed in such a way that would allow the oxen to pull his load, to carry the weight in such a way that distributed the weight and helped the oxen to pull the load along. Secondly, of course, a yoke was a steering device. So basically, it speaks of the ability to... It means serving and being guided by. So the idea here when he says, take my yoke upon you, it means become a disciple. Let me begin to guide you and let your life begin to be used by me. And in that, you'll find rest. Why? How? Because you'll find your real reason for being here. See, what does he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn what? From me. Learn from me. So see those steps? Come, take, learn. Come to Jesus, take my yoke, take his yoke, and learn from him. Come to him, put on his yoke, learn from him. And as you do, he declares, he promises you will find the deeper rest. How does Jesus describe himself here? Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I think of all the words he could have used to describe himself, and so many attributes could have been he could have put in there. I am powerful. I am mighty. He could have gone on and on, and they all would have fit, but he chose to pick about himself something very interesting, and yet, if you're a person who's weary and burdened, it's going to feel like water to your thirsty soul. Because he says, are you burdened? Are you weary? Come to me and learn me. Take my yoke. Because I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. To be lowly in heart means to be humble. When you're beaten down and tired, do you really want someone to come along and say, what's wrong with you? Get up and get going. I can carry that load. Why can't you? What's your... You wimp. You go, gee, thanks. No, he comes along and he takes the gentle approach. Hey, let me help you with that. Thanks. And he comes humbly. He comes, let me know that he's for me and not against me, that he loves me. He's not down on me. He cares for me. And that's why he's saying this. He's saying, that load you're carrying, you got to let it go. You're not designed to carry it. He comes gently and lowly in heart. And if you're in that place, then hopefully you can really appreciate that he says that about himself there. Because he's a king who serves. He's a Messiah who washes others' feet. His very coming, it says he humbled himself and came and took on the form of a man. Why? Because it says he was submissive to the Father. And that's what we're to learn. That humbleness of heart, that proper perspectives of things, that submissiveness to God That's the yoke that we're to learn that will bring rest. Because it's a yoke basically that says, learn to be like Him. Quit always wanting your way and your will, but instead give Him the reins. Let Him have the yoke. Let Him have the reins. Let Him have the driver's seat. Let Him begin to form in you that Christ likeness. Let Him begin to make you like Jesus. That's the place of rest for our souls. I know other people would tell you it's in getting enough money or the best job or the house or the car. Just be with the right people. They would tell you all these, and that's where you're going to find it. And the Lord in His love says, go ahead, I'll be waiting when you're done. And when you're ready to come back, you let me know. Because He knows we're not going to find it out there. Everybody always thinks just a little more money, just a little more something else. Come to me, Jesus said. Learn of me. Take my yoke. Let me begin to guide your life. That's the place of rest for your heart. Well, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And I've kind of come. Be careful. Be careful you haven't come to all the ritual and the routine and the structure, the books, the CDs, all those things, some in, right in their place. But you're thinking that's the coming that it's talking about. And then in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You struggle with this whole thing. Verse 29, take my yoke. I mean, up in 28 he goes, hey, if you're heavy laden and burdened down, I'll give you rest. And you're going, okay, cool. Then he turns right around and says, take my yoke. Then verse 30, for my yoke is easy and light. What is this about? I mean, he says he's going to help me, but now he wants to put a yoke on me? Yeah. But I want you to notice something. You see where it says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That word easy there could be rendered appropriate, or perhaps even a better rendering is well-fitting. My yoke will fit you. It's the plan I have for you. My will for you. As you discover and walk in God's plan for you, you'll begin to find the rest He has for you. For years, I lived my life like, you ever try to put your hand in a glove, maybe one of those latex gloves or something, and you just can't get the fingers in? And that's how life felt, like just couldn't get all the fingers in the right places, you know? Until I got to that place in life where I just said, Lord, I yield my life to You. I said, Lord, it's Yours. And I began to answer His call that He had for me. Now, his yoke for me might be different from Yours in terms of the outworking of this. But as I began to say, Lord, I admit it, here it is, Lord, do it. I don't see how You're going to do it, but You go for it, Lord. Here I am. You do what You want to do. I'm Yours. And at that moment, it was like, pop. You know, the fingers all popped into place. Life began to fit. I spoke about this in our first service this morning, and afterwards, Teresa, who is knowledgeable about horses, and many of you probably are, she was saying, it's just like that with horses, with their saddles. You put the wrong saddle or a bad saddle or a saddle with a problem with it on a horse, and pretty soon that horse will be miserable. Or way you might put it is like putting on a shoe and doesn't fit right. And at first it kind of hurts. By the end of the day, you got blisters and you can't even walk. And that's what a yoke of this world, a yoke of our own making does. But His yoke is easy, meaning His yoke fits. Because it's His plan. It's His purposes for us. Far better than we could have come up with. How do I discover that? You come. Well, I come. I try to come. Well, don't misunderstand. It's not a big deal, but it is specifically. To come in this way, to come to Him means to trust Him, to rely upon Him, to begin to seek and do it His way. It means to cast all upon Him, to take Him at His word. It means to lay hold of that promise. It means to believe what He's told you. It means to commit yourself to Him. That's what it means to come, to trust in Him completely. It's not just to intellectually believe, it's to heart trust, to heart surrender. Come to me. So here's the call. Are you tired? This morning, are you tired of soul? Are you burnt out of heart? Are you heavy burdened? Again, for some, it might be unforgiveness towards someone. You're harboring a resentment, a bitterness. Perhaps your brick is one of jealousy. Just so sure that he has it better, wishing you had what she had, or whatever it is. You're jealous of their position in life or something. For others, it's the brick of prejudice. Now, some of those you can say, well, yeah, those are sin, and they are. But there's other kinds of bricks that I tried to point out. As you picture that person with all these bricks and we're looking at them, there's that weariness that comes from having our expectations, meaning how we thought it was going to go, having our expectations dashed upon the rocks of reality. Because maybe you sit here divorced. That marriage didn't work out. It wasn't the way you'd planned. It wasn't the way you thought it would go. And there's that whole load of bricks surrounding that in your life. And just even wondering, can God even use me now? And maybe you had an expectation of how you'd be treated by a particular friend and they let you down. Maybe they flat out stabbed you in the back. I said earlier, maybe it's just some of those heavy weights that life puts on us in terms of the hurt, the losses we experience and all. Maybe for some it's that bone weariness that life lived out of fellowship with God can produce. That leanness of soul that a lack of prayer and time in the Word and time in fellowship with God produces. It's such an awesome answer, such a simple, available answer, and yet so few of us take it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come. Do you need to be saved from your sins? Would you be willing to confess and admit I got saved? And repent and turn and receive the forgiveness you need? Come. Come just as you are. You don't have to be good enough or earn it or get your act together. You got to get clean up my life first. It won't work. That's reversed. You got to come to him first and receive forgiveness. But maybe it's one of these other things. Maybe you're just weary and laboring and having laden from the trials of life and the things that have happened to you and all. And don't argue it. Don't debate it. Don't think, well, I got to do this, or I've got to go do that. Come. And he gives rest. Is a time to lay down the bricks, to let him take those bricks off of you that you're dragging around. Would you be willing to confess, I'm tired of heart, I'm burnt out of soul, I've been laboring under all these bricks, whatever they are, life and all the things that come with it and your own decisions you made and everything else, would you be willing just to come, to repent if that's the need, to cast all your cares on him if that's the need, to release it to him, to believe, to trust, whatever it might be, to have faith, to lean on him and not on yourself, to lean not on your understanding, but to his wisdom, to take his plan. I know things didn't go the way you thought, but you're not on the junk heap. There is a plan still unfolding. I know you had expectations that got crushed, and life isn't the way you thought, but can you come to him and just trust that he's got a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light? I mean, he's got a plan. He's got a will. He's got a purpose for you that when you're in sync with it, it is easy. It is light. I'm here to testify to that. He gives a rest. The cry, come to me. It was Jesus' cry that day, and it's his cry to us today. It was his cry to them because it was their need, and it's his cry to us because it's our need. I don't know any other way to put it. I trust the Holy Spirit will empower and impart that to you. Come to me. What will be your response? What will your daily response be? What will he find you doing with the weights that this life brings along? I'm asking what the other guy's response will be. How about you? Will you come to Jesus for salvation? Will you come to him, if you are saved, will you come to him for that weight you're carrying? Whatever it might be, He calls, come. Come in prayer. Come in your thought life. Come in the quiet times and come in the trials. Come 24/7. Come to Him. Not in all that outside peripheral stuff. Trust in Him. Spend time with Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Cast your cares on Him. That hurt, that pain, that whatever it is, give it to Him and trust Him for it. Let Him fill that emptiness with Himself. Quit trying to fill it with all the other stuff. Think of it. God calls out. God looks at His creation. He looks at us in our condition, in our state. And God calls out what? He says, God walking on this earth. And He calls out and He says what? He doesn't say, go away, which is what we would deserve. He doesn't say, go earn it, because we can't. He doesn't say, do. He says, come. Just come. That's God's invitation. Come to me. May He hear us respond, Lord, I come. Now and always. Thank God for the call. Come unto me. Let's stand. Worship team's going to come up and close us out in song. And there will be prayer partners available over here by the prayer room in the front here, in the front right of our sanctuary. If this would be a good time for you to come get prayer, they would love to pray with you about if something's touched your heart today.